And once again, this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. The time now is 1 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Vine coming up.
Hey everybody, this is Kev O'Donoghue and Ben Starr, back with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you some ideas, concepts, and guests to try and help you lead a more positively minded life. And as promised, we do have a guest, two guests. We have Elizabeth Gross in the studio today. Elizabeth is, she's an expert on women, women's health, traditional methods, and the traditional wisdom. And integrative stuff, which we will get to when we have Nassima Diane Deamer. You know, we wanted to follow up yesterday's show, and people did call us after the show because of the topic. We talked yesterday about the midlife crisis, and it's really like a time of adjustment, a time of when you see all the changes that you've gone through, and you have a moment or a week or a month or a year or two, maybe more. Where you're assessing. You're assessing where you've been in life and where you might want to get to in life. It's kind of like the big pause.
Mm.
It's like a big pause. And it's not always, it's not necessarily pleasant. It can be an unpleasant experience because in a way, you kind of see your own death.
Yeah.
In what we're talking about yesterday. And we did talk a lot about men. Dr. Kent Robichaud was here and talking about testosterone levels and the upside of a lowering of testosterone for men. And it is, there are plenty of upsides, mm-hmm. plenty of upsides to having this so-called crisis in life. But today, we wanted to get a women's perspective. As you know, we've been doing some shows on women's issues, women's psychology, because we think it's time they got represented. And we want to hear all aspects of what it's like to be a woman. And what it's like to have a female brain and a female mind.
And a female body.
and there is such a thing as a female mind and a female brain. If you just think about it, boys, you know, boys play with trucks and they build forts and castles as kids. And girls, what are girls doing? They don't want any part of that. Girls are building homes and creating.
Well, hopefully they're building homes. Usually they're just, you know, playing inside of inside of the dollhouse.
There's dollhouses and that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
So I don't know if that's brain or is that hormones, testosterone and estrogen.
Yeah.
But that's for another day. For today, we want to talk about women who have transitioned. Oh. Women who have met the challenge. Met the change. And, you know, we want to kind of demystify it for you today.
Mm-hmm.
We want to try and make it, you know, half the women in the world are postmenopausal, aren't they?
Probably.
You got to figure. I mean, yesterday we talked about baby boomers. There's 75 million baby boomers, but there are even more millennials.
Mm.
There are 78 million millennials. Well, you have to figure, when does menopause happen? Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
When does it happen? So let's demythologize.
Yeah. Well,
menopause.
I invited Elizabeth. I thought she'd be a wonderful addition to our work in talking about women's issues and women's health. And I met her through a group that I've been participating in, and I just really appreciate her take on things. And so, yeah, let's start with, you know, sort of what about women and a little bit about, you know,
well,
how you come to
this. Let's get the age group first.
Yeah.
Is there a traditional age group? When can male partners expect their woman, their companion, to go through menopause? Is there a set number of years?
Yeah.
So now that we're experiencing a lot of shifts in the hormones that we're taking in through food, those ages are changing. But typically you can think about any time from 45 on being a time where menopause signs might start to show up in a woman.
And okay, well, what about 60-year-olds? I mean, could it start in your 60s?
There can be late onset. There can be early onset. Most oftentimes, as I was saying, now we're eating a lot more hormones than traditionally our bodies have been used to. There's more early onset than late that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah. 60 would be late.
Absolutely.
But generally, again, for an education of men, 55 would be a time when menopause for most women would be over. You could pretty much be assured that women have gone through this by then.
Yeah, or in the stage of going through it. It can last 10 years.
It can last 10 years.
It can last 10 years.
Okay, so I dare to say that a lot of men, the most that we know about menopause is hot flashes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, that's not it, right? I mean, there's more than hot flashes. Do you see your own death? Let's talk a little bit about the psychological aspects of menopause.
Well, you know, it's something that I've been going through. I'm 50. I'll be 51 this year. And I have really been surprised at how much grief I've been feeling with it. Not only is it like a grieving of like my own change in my body and a loss of something that I was used to every month. But also that there have been, you know, some more significant deaths in my life too. The loss of parents, the aging of my parents. So it's really tied into a lot of grief for me. Mm. And I think that's not unusual. I think a lot of women experience some depression, potentially some anxiety, definitely feelings of like body dysmorphia. Like, I don't know what my body is anymore. It's like doing different things. It's pretty confusing.
It's a time of grief. It can be a time of grief. Yeah. Elizabeth, what can you say?
Well, societally speaking, there's a lot of celebration and a seeing of women that are young in their maidenhood, you would say. So there's a lot of glorification of that time. And so when our bodies start to change and start to get older and transform from the childbearing years, there can be a lot of panic in that because women don't know how to place themselves, especially in the, you know, advertising that we're very used to seeing growing up. A lot of the potential role models that we see through aging actresses and musicians, they are being seen in advertisements that are trying to defy age, you know, skin age-defying creams. And so there's not an embracing, culturally speaking, of that time where in other traditions there's a huge celebration. It's a really important time to transform from what we have known about ourselves into being a holder of a lot of wisdom. And so that's what I bring into my practice is creating a positive mindset, around this powerful transition that we're faced with in our lives.
So you must come up against a lot of resistance. I mean, yeah, you know, it's so women identify with what? With the glorification of beauty and attempting and trying to stay beautiful for 45 years,
right.
Even more so. Is that fair to say? So it strikes me like what you have to do is combat all of that kind of.
Well, more than that, you have to sort of let it go on some level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you're getting to this age of like 45, 50, it's like, am I going to go down the road of coloring my hair, working out a lot, it's like trying to make it look like I'm still in my 40s and still vital and still, you know, that image, you know, going to get the Botox? Am I going to, you know, start lifting things that are sagging? You know, it's like that's a choice that a lot of women have to make at this time. And it's like, is that something I want to do or not? And for me personally, it's not something I want to do. But I'm also don't feel supported in how can I move through this change without totally stressing out about that? Mm-hmm. How can I embrace what's happening more and more and embrace my aging, embrace my gray hairs that are coming out and my hair's changing? You know, it's like it's different. It's like, okay, am I going to go with this or not? Mm-hmm. You know,
it's got to be tough to go it alone, I would think.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. You know, and I think I've talked to a couple of my friends about some of the, you know, the things that we're noticing, but it still isn't that comfortable of a conversation. It'd be nice to be guided a little bit more by someone who understands that. And I think that's what Elizabeth does.
Mm-hmm. Just so you know, we're going to take calls. We want I gotta say this, we want women over 50 to call us. We want your experience. That's what we're trying to bring people here.
Yeah.
Their experience with their own changes in life. So if we, you know, we're talking about midlife crisis. If you're 25, you're not dealing with this. If you're 25 and female, you're not dealing with menopause. We'd love to have women that have made the change, made the transition, call us at 212-757-5555. You know, let's make it easier for people out there. Let's make it easier for women who go through this often probably silently, quietly with their own struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And it would probably, there's probably better ways to do it. Yeah. Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Here's my question. What's a good way to go through menopause?
Well, there are a couple of different ways you can go about it, and they're really easy ways. Number one would be addressing the diet. I would say that's the first and foremost thing.
Really?
Yeah.
So in your practice, I mean, people aren't – it's not the psychological thing first. You wouldn't, like, grieve, you know, spend time processing the grief. I'm no longer bearing children. I mean, my body, I'm – you know what? I would think so many issues would come up.
Yeah, so the whole body has to be addressed, and the whole body includes the emotional aspect of our body, our physical body, our mind space, you know. So these are all layers of creating a holistic approach to healing. And so, yes, it's all super important, but because of the context that we're put or that we find ourselves in, we have to take a look at the ways that we just structure our days on a day-to-day basis and see how are we supporting ourselves through the changes that we find ourselves in.
Okay.
And so diet is a huge component of that.
So in the background is this grief or this change that's happening for however long, we don't know. 2 years, 5 years, 2 months, who knows? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. But we also need to take care of the daily things to make yourself feel better or feel good as you go through this. So you say diet. What has to be done about the diet?
Supporting the nervous system and the hormones are crucial components to creating more of an ease within this transition time. And a lot of times when we have high stressful jobs, our adrenal systems can get really taxed. And so taking in herbs, herbal medicine, that really supports our nervous system. And it's so powerful that different herbs are called different things, like motherwort and lady's mantle. Yeah. You know, these are herbs that can really support us during these shifts. And so taking in whole foods in traditional preparations, minimally processed foods, really as close to the earth as we can get. And eating slow, just really supporting our nervous system and our connection to what we're taking in creates more body awareness, establishes self-love in ways that we might not do if we're running around not thinking about the body as we go through our days.
Yeah, running around and trying to pretend like it's not happening.
Right.
Trying to keep ourselves busy, not paying attention to all of these things that are working in the background. And frankly, I'm finding pretty exhausting.
Right.
So you change your diet. I mean, first of all, is that so hang on a second. You might want to hang on to your old diet as a sort of way of denying that you're even going through it.
Exactly.
If you're going through it, accept it. I'm going through this. I need to have a different diet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do want to say that the symptoms that create the menopause experience, they have to do with the whole of the life. So if someone, you know, I'm actually in my late 20s, early 30s. So I am taking preventative measures now and focusing on balancing my hormones through my diet and my emotions, taking care of my body in holistic ways now so that when I do get to menopause, I don't have the negative symptoms that can come from a long life of stress and
carbs.
Yeah. High carb, high sugar. That really spikes the adrenal system in a way that is really taxing on the body.
If you're just joining us, you're tuned into The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. We're talking with Elizabeth Gross and Nasima Diane Deemer We've been talking a lot recently about transitions, changes, aging, and today we're talking about a pretty specific one in terms of menopause, and we'll be taking your calls at 212-757-5555. We're going to take our first call of the day. We have Jane on the line. Hi, Jane. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you for the show. It's wonderful.
Thank you, Jane.
You're welcome. How are you? I mean, have you changed your diet?
Well, I have, just as I realized that your guest is describing the physical changes that she prepared herself for in the 30s, I did the same thing. I started in the health food store to look. They used to have books there, and there were some books on menopause. And the idea that women weren't really helping women, remember this was about 20 years ago, when I, 30 years ago when I was 30, and so I took note of that, that medicine had intervened instead of women teaching women about how to do these things. So I made changes early, physical changes. But what I really wanted to address, was bringing the Me Too movement into this discussion, mm-hmm. and how I see that is when you enter menopause or the later stages of your life, when you're no longer able to ply that sexuality that in this sort of misogynist this misogynist society, as we're seeing with the Me Too movement, when you're no longer able to be that plaything and to, as I said before, sort of ply that in the workplace or the whatever profession you are forced to do that in, then you are faced with a different problem. You know, if that's what, do you understand the question?
In a nutshell, what's the problem? I agree. I'm following you, but I could see the problem. I just want you to put it into words for us.
So you're really forced to not only see that you were part of that kind of a system where you were forced to use your sexuality or have your sexuality used and acquiesce to that. You're forced to face that because that's no longer even an option, even if you wanted to participate. Yeah. So now you have to face yourself and see really who you are other than that, which can be fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, and this can be a time when a lot of women are let go from their jobs.
Right.
Because they're no, and it's interesting, it might be sort of a backwards way of sort of supporting that whole thing that, you know, you're no longer playing into this game, you know, and when you do get to this age, a lot of that drops down and you're really more in your potentially in the force of who you are as a person, not necessarily a woman, described by her fertility.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you get a chance to step into something new, and sometimes that doesn't work in the atmosphere that you may have been coming up in.
But also sexually, I mean, she's saying, and Jane, I want you to chime in here, about how has sexuality changed? Okay, I might have looked at myself as being an object for a man or being, somebody who a man could just take, and I went along with that for some such amount of years, and now as I go through menopause, I don't want to continue experiencing my sexuality that way. Now what do I do? Do you redefine your own sexuality, Jane? What do you think?
Yes, I think you do, and I think it's also very interesting since we're speaking about the reflection of the society in this sort of misogyny. You know, whereas a man gets older, this usually isn't the issue. You know, maybe internally, but in their image, they're more powerful, they're wealthier in every respect because of pay inequality, they're considered distinguished when they get gray hair versus what we were talking about before, right? So all of that paternal power is, they become endowed with paternal power as they get older, where it was just the opposite for women. But to answer your question directly, in terms of redefining sexuality, I think it's interesting to see that they came up with this whole cougar idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. But that doesn't work.
It doesn't. Yeah, but so, it's interesting that they try and get
I just want to know about you. How did you do it? You sound like you're on the other side of this, because this is a great topic, and we're gonna talk about a few of these things after your call. But what about you? Where do you stand with yourself? Did you drop men altogether?
I think for a time, after the physical changes came, I was still fine with men. But it did echo. It started to echo in my head. And now, like you said, it can be a long process, and there are questions. And I feel that's where I am. I'm going through that. I'm going through that change in not being able to sort of mindlessly accepting that role and really having to start again, like a rebirth, to start again and choose what do I see in that kind of sexual relationship? What am I after?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
What's the purpose of it? Which is exactly what I think you're talking about. But I can't really be any more specific. Sorry if,
us a sense.
Jane, you bring up a really good point, and I just want to celebrate that when you were in your early 30s, you took charge of your diet and you took charge of your physical care for your body, and so you didn't have as many negative symptoms because of that. So now you are able to think about more of the emotional component of your body. Imagine you have all of those things unresolved and you come and hit this change, and there's a lot coming at you. So because you balanced that at a really early time, now you have more of the opportunity to focus on the emotional resolution that you're faced with. Because I have the traditional perspective, I'll bring up opportunity to gather as women, which was huge traditionally. It's called Red Tent. Women would gather together during most oftentimes the new moon time and share their stories of what they were going through as women in their relationships, their motherhood, their struggles with their bodies in all different ways. So I think because this rite of passage is so silenced in our culture, which all of them are, birth, menarche, menopause, and death are very, very silenced in the conversation. So if you get together with the women that are your friends and just communicate about how they're all dealing with this time, and especially how they're relating to themselves and their sexual bodies, then I think you'd gain a lot of wisdom through that sharing and cultivate your relationships knowing that you're not alone in this process.
I think that's a great suggestion. I'll definitely accept it. And I just want to say one last thing about the women who have permanent partners, married spouses. Frequently, when I do begin to speak with other women, I see also that they deputize their husbands for taking on this process of renegotiating their place. Their husbands sort of...
No, that's not the way to go, right?
No, I wouldn't think so.
It should be a dialogue, a conversation, right? I mean, go ahead, finish that. Sorry.
But I just think that, unfortunately, it traps them.
Right.
And I can see that it might happen that way because they have a certain safety net. Which can also be psychological safety net. When my husband decided this, and I couldn't do that, and I couldn't do this, and I was saved from this, I was protected from that, where it all is about the husband's power and where they are as a result of the husband's power rather than their own.
Right. Jane, great points. Thank you for calling us. We're going to give you our number at the end of the show, which will help you get in touch with Elizabeth Gross and this idea about the red tent. I hope you can talk more about that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
As we go forward. But thank you so much for the call, Jane.
Thank you all. Fantastic show. Thanks.
Thank you, Jane.
Bye.
Have a good day. 212-757-5555. That was a great call. That covered, but she, talk more about diet. I mean, so she's preparing herself, 20 years before. So she got some traditional wisdom way before, you know, most women in our culture.
Crucial.
So why is that a benefit? If you take 20, if you do it 20 years before, what is it going to do? It's going to lessen the symptoms or what?
Well, yeah. A lot of our bodies and the changes have to do with the stability and the practice of continuously detoxifying and supporting our organ function. So the more we support our livers at a really early time, the less stressed and stagnant they'll be. And stagnancy is a huge component to this whole conversation. Movement is essential. So movement in the lymphatic system, the more static we are throughout our lives, the more kind of bloating and fatigue and chronic stagnant more tendencies the body will experience in menopause. So there are a couple of different traditional practices that we can do, like self-massage. Pelvic steaming is one that's coming up again, and I use in my practice to just continue circulation and healthy movement of the tissue, but also the emotions. It creates that healthy release ongoing from day to day.
Fantastic. You're going to have a lot to tell the second half of the show. We do have another caller. Lynn is on the phone. Lynn, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Hi, hello.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi. One of the reasons I called today was because you were giving a call to women over 50 and, you know, how they dealt with that. And I just think that it's just such a great topic that you don't hear too much until you are already going through many issues and changes.
Right.
So I think it's important to put message out there that these, you know, being aware of our bodies and the changes that we go through and being comfortable with who we are.
Did you go through an emotional change, psychological issues, any kinds of issues?
I mean, there was so much change that it was very overwhelming, almost overpowering.
Right.
How so?
I felt that I was very much more, my emotions were very much more came to the surface, like inner emotion, you know, really inner emotions, which to me ended up being a good thing because I felt that it was a lot of growth that I went through as well.
Right.
But there was also like a lot of, I almost felt like a teenager again, so like this restless, rebellious, you know, like ups and downs, and you're an adult going through adult things, but having these, you know, weird feelings going on. But I also did start taking much better care of myself.
How so?
I did start eating better. I became a vegetarian. I did a lot of things that more aware of my health. I feel that over the years, I abused my body in a lot of ways, the way many of us do.
Yeah.
You know, either overeating or overdrinking or whatever the case is. And I started being much more aware of those things and taking better care and exercising more.
Right.
What about slowing down?
So, the slowing down for me, I feel like just very recently after having gone through my changes and everything, that just very recently, I feel like I'm saying now, no, I'm not going to do that. It's a little too much, you know, but not in a way of, I think more just in that, always that busy work, you know, I'm a career person too, and career and family and always having that schedule full.
Okay.
Yeah.
Starting to prioritize your own needs more. You know, some of the good things that happen is that the children grow up and you have, you know, you do have a little bit more time. Time management gets a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's easier to say no,
sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It's easier to say no, take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn,
I really
wonderful.
Did feel like I didn't take care of myself for many years, you know, so I did feel like, oh, wow, I'm not responsible for anybody now.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
They're responsible to you.
It's a second life. You get a second chance. Lynn, thank you for the call. I just want to go into a little bit more about this diet before the break. So thank you for the call.
Great.
All right.
Thank
Have a good
you.
Day. Say more about diet. What kind of things should you be
eating
and not eating? Because it seems to be a theme.
Whole foods.
What does that mean? What's a whole food?
Minimally processed.
Okay.
No packaged foods.
Okay.
Low carb, high fat. Really important.
I have to say, I was so angry. I walked into Whole Foods. They completely redid it. And instead of it being produce first, it was all carbs. The bakery and the breads were first. Wow. I was like,
So is that something
to avoid?
I loved
walking into my...
Wherever you go, it always seems like on the way...
The carbs and the sweets.
Yeah, on the way to checkout, they always have all the sweet, sugary stuff. You know, the candy bars, the cookies. It's all on the home stretch going to checkout.
Right.
Especially if you're waiting on a line at a grocery store. And then you have all this tempting, sugary, carby stuff.
And that is absolutely related to depression and mood swings.
Yes, there it is. Carbs and sugar.
Yes.
Definitely related. So those...
So walk through that section, everybody. Just make a beeline for the produce.
Okay. Give us a call, 212-757-5555. Want to hear from women over 50 today, 212-757-5555. We'll be back right after this.
As a wave across the land, we are moving, moving. Say no face, change these bodies make, and the way they are, facing forward, shoulder to the storm, telling of moving. It takes one step, takes your voice. Takes your voice saying, I am not hearing if you are not naming it. I am not stopping if you are not changing it. Here are my hands, let's see what they're making. In the morning, in the rise up, there's a bridge from all that's been. In the dawning, the vines are pushing through the pavement. We were born of burning hearts. We are tearing off the reins from the ground. Stopping if you are not changing it. Here are my hands, let's see what they're making. In the morning, in the rise up, there's a bridge from all that's been. In the dawning, the vines are pushing through the pavement. We were born of burning hearts. We are tearing off the reins from the ground up. We will build it from the clouds above. We're raining from the crowd.
Isla Nereo here on WBAI. You're tuned into The Positive Mind. We're talking, doing another show on transitions and getting older. We're talking mainly focused on women today. We're talking about menopause here with Elizabeth Gross and Nasima Diane Deemer. Thank you both for being here, by the way.
Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. And we're taking your calls at 212-757-5555, like Kevin said earlier. Hoping to hear primarily today from women over 50. So number to call, 212-757-5555.
So it kind of, you know, Lynn really pointed out something that connects with yesterday as, yes, my kids are gone now. And so there's nobody else for me to focus on. I focus purely and solely on me now. So it might be a tough transition, but then there's the good stuff. Then I go, oh, wait a second, I do get to focus solely on me.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, what's the way to focus? What should we be focused on? We talked about diet.
Yeah, and I just want to say that the term menopause, the root word in that is pause.
Is man.
Well, man, yeah. Menopause is now. But it used to be moonopause, that we're literally
Why
pausing
that?
From our moon time. Because our cycles, our periods are inextricably connected to the moon.
Yes.
Right. Monthly.
Yes.
Well, the word month also mm-hmm. is a root in moon.
Yes. Yeah. Monday, so day of the moon.
How did it become men? Opus. Is that the modern term for it? Because
yes.
it's the only way you get to have a pause from men. I mean, tell me.
Yeah, I mean, that concept shows up a lot. So same in woman, woe to man. I mean,
yes,
these things are so ingrained. Yeah, history, yeah. His story.
Yes.
So, yeah, the influence of men as dominant in our lives is so ingrained.
Right.
But now we have this beautiful opportunity to reclaim our stories and mm-hmm. to be sharing them, which is why it's so important to gather.
Yeah. And it would be, you know, if we changed it back to moonopause, you know, it'd be a way for us to really, men and women, everybody to be grounded in what this is all about.
We just did it.
We just yeah. did it.
It
we
just
put
happened.
It only on WBAI.
There it is.
Only
Moonopause.
Here, 99.5 in New York. It's really called Moonopause, men. All right? It's Moonopause because of the cyclical movement of the moon. It has nothing yeah. to do with men.
And the cycles and the magical
anyway,
cycles
so that's,
of women.
That's the good news. But yes, yeah. yeah, so get back to gathering. So diet. You can do diet, but you also need other women to go through this. Is that right?
It's a huge part of the shift in how to create more stability, more ease, more calm, more joy in the process. Because, as I said, a lot of our stories are silenced, and that's why our past caller was talking about the Me Too movement. That started to create a platform for women to share their stories. Social media is a very vast platform, and so a lot of these stories were shared on that vast platform, and then we have the question, well, what are we going to do with all of those stories? And so that's why in my own area, I live in the Mid-Hudson Valley right now, you know, we have red tent gatherings, and I actually do this within my private practice as well. I'm running a group program here at the Positive Mind Center starting in March, and we're going to be learning how to incorporate traditional practices into our modern lives, one of them being red tent gatherings.
So you'll teach women how to take a red tent and create a red tent gathering in their own?
I mean, well, yeah,
why isn't a blue tent, by the way? I want to be in a blue tent.
So you...
But
yeah,
that's another story. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Well, The Red Tent is actually a book, and it has to do with the lives of women in the Old Testament and all of the silence traditions that they had during that time, and the book shares those traditions. And so The Red Tent was a literal tent, yes. It was red because this was the time that women all bled together. Before electricity, a lot of women bled during the same time because, as we said, our cycles correlate with the moon.
Right.
And so right. because women tend to bleed on the new moon
mm.
and ovulate on the full moon if they're not influenced by electricity. And periods are really special times where women can create that pause.
Right.
Rest, digest what they've learned in the month, and set intention for the next cycle. And so this was something that was practiced all the time, and now we have to bring that back as a way to anchor into our communities as women and create that uplift that we're all really seeking.
Mm. So the whole reason women now have their cycle at different times is because of modernization and electricity.
That's a huge contributing factor, yes. But things like the diet are a factor because
right.
hormones are one of the huge systems that dominates mm-hmm. How our cycles are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know that if women were taken out of a modern culture and all, you know, a bunch of women go to another island or something, that they would coordinate their menstrual cycles together.
And I'll
yeah.
say that happens
and that
anyway.
Can be done.
You'll find that women in general, when they live together, they'll synchronize their cycles. You find that all the time in dormitories, when people are just living in communal housing.
Right.
It happens all the time.
Also, if you're working together, it'll happen in the office.
You might not know that because a lot of women aren't talking about these things. Okay.
But we are here on we are on their lunch break here on WBAI. 99.5. Ms. Seema.
So another aspect you mentioned was about lymphatic, how important the lymphatic system is and stimulating that as we move into this stage of our lives.
Huge, because now that we're entering this time where we're not bleeding, we're not getting that regular monthly release, especially from the pelvis. So a lot of stagnation can accumulate, and that's why we need to be moving the lymphatic system, which is the governor of immunity. It's the governor of our inflammatory levels, and it's the one system that we have to move ourselves in order for it to work.
Right. Yeah, we have to, it has to be muscularly
moved. How do you know that it's moving?
Well,
I mean, I have a lymphatic system.
Yes, you do.
Everybody
has a lymphatic system.
I want to get mine moving again. It's, so what do I have to do?
If you're up and moving around and walking, you're moving your lymphatic system.
Okay.
It's muscles.
But Elizabeth is talking about making it more effective, more efficient, work properly.
Yes.
Go ahead. Say a little bit more.
So I'm trained in Thai Ayurveda, and in the Ayurvedic system, there's a self-massage practice called Abhyanga, and I bring that into my private practice. I teach most of my clients how to do it, and it stimulates the lymphatic system by literally massaging the main lymph node access points, which are places that we don't often touch. They're in the armpits, the side waistline, the breasts, inner thighs, places where we as women culturally have a lot of shame. And so to literally be massaging our bodies with infused oils, which I make as someone trained in herbalism, I do that for my clients. And that's also specific based on what they're going through. So it's a very, very unique process.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're talking about – go ahead.
Just very beautiful to start to embrace your body in this way and to support it. And to, you know, feel like you're kind of anointing yourself through this whole
process. It's a huge game changer for women.
And you're talking about deliberate self-care. It'd be interesting how that we contrast this way of helping women go through menopause versus the traditional silent, solitary way of going through it.
Right, like it's not happening.
This is why I call it in my practice radical self-care.
Radical self-care.
All right. Yeah, let's take a quick call. We have a lot of people on hold, but we have Alma on the line. Hello, Alma.
Oh,
okay.
We lost.
Sounds like we lost Alma.
We can get the next one.
212.
It is radical. It sounds radical to a guy. It sounds radical to me. Massaging your breasts, massaging your hips, massaging yourself. There's a concept. You can massage yourself.
Yeah, and even when we do get regular massages, let's say we're incorporating that into our month, a lot of Western massage does not look at the breasts and the abdomen. When we stimulate that, those are Eastern practices. They're very common in Eastern body work, and they're essential because, you know, a lot of breast cancer also accumulates underneath the breast tissue where a lot of women have worn underwire bras for long periods of time.
Right.
So to literally move and break up the stagnation that might accumulate in the lymph ducts in that area, that's huge.
Right. And it's just a wonderful thing to like take off the bra and shake and move your body and let your breasts move. We don't allow them to move.
Is that under the red tent too?
Potentially.
I don't know. We'll talk more about it. We have a caller.
Ben? I think we may have Alma this time. Is that you, Alma?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
hi.
Great.
Thanks for calling.
Hi, Alma.
Hi. I had my experience is that I found that when I retired, It was very difficult because I had a hard time. They had a whole thing with ageism, the board of ed and all that. But other than that, after I retired, I just set a new life. And I decided to do, I became a yoga instructor.
Great.
And I work with seniors. And I have my own business as an instructor. And I found that that helps. Just say, hey, it's something new, and I found it to be so relaxing. I feel really great, and I'm embracing my new life. I found also that a lot of people, they seem to get scared of going, you know, as they're getting older, they're scared to go to the seniors, you know. I mean, I think that's a very nice community to just go there and talk and get to know people and see how they're handling it.
Beautiful.
And when I found going to the seniors, I found that they have a lot of professional people and very intelligent. They have so much to share, and they shouldn't be fearful of going out there and meeting new people through these centers and new avenues. I'm 60 now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I'm very, yeah, and I found to stay healthy. I became a vegan.
Wow.
And yeah,
that's
and
a
I
big
found
change.
That too. Yeah, because I did. I started with yoga, and I got my own business open, and went back to school, and
so
I kind of retired at 58.
Right.
So now I'm 60, and
good
it's
for
been
you.
Great.
It sounds like you've sort of created your own rebirth, and you know you've taken this opportunity to make big changes in your life, really good changes. It sounds like, and even your outreach to your community. And getting to know people and asking for advice, that's just a really wonderful way.
Well, she brings up a good concept about elders,
yeah.
Seniors, older women.
Mm-hmm.
How has that affected you, Alma, the older women?
Well, I found that, Heiko, they become younger. I mean, we become more stronger. They start taking yoga classes. I've been learning Tai Chi because they have free things that, you know, we can attend. And it's just a shame that a lot of people are so fearful of aging that
yes.
they don't embrace
yeah.
the
yeah.
age and the opportunities
yeah.
that they have out there. Like,
yeah.
I'm really doing well in Tai Chi. And
uh-huh.
Tai Chi is also an amazing way to embrace your age. And as long as you go in the merry-go-round, it's like if you go against the merry-go-round or against the clock,
yeah, right.
then you're gonna age horribly.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if you embrace your age and you go with the flow, man,
that's
there's
it.
Nothing that can stop you. And it's just awesome.
Wonderful.
I'm having a good time.
Alma,
good.
Thank you for
so
the call. You're perfect. Thanks for the call.
No problem.
Thank you.
Keep calling us.
Bye-bye.
You know, I think energy is contagious. So I think what she's saying, when women get together, they become younger. You know, is that a concept?
Yeah, and I wanted to bring up, because I am trained in Thai, that Thai medical astrology says that from age 1 to 49, you're in your first phase of life. That's the childhood. But then when you move from 50 to 99, that's the second stage. That's your adulthood. And so you are creating a rebirth. You're creating an opportunity to really embody yourself in a whole new way. And that's a really positive thing if you look at it that way.
Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm only 6 years old.
Yeah.
In my adulthood.
I was like, does that get to apply to men too? Because I'd love to stay a child for a while.
You guys,
I think so. I think that's what the midlife crisis kind of is. You
yeah.
know? It's like, oh man, I'm.
And despite what people say, it's.
Stage.
I don't know. But despite what people say, I think it's much, much better being an adult than a child.
Yes.
We could talk a lot about that. But you get to make decisions and choices, and you see things that you never saw when you were 25 and 35. So when you're 55
right.
and around elders and in a community of elders and people gathering, you can learn and grow and pick up things that you don't normally pick up, let's say, when you're in your 20s and 30s and 40s. So I love that kind of – where does that come from, traditional wisdom?
Thai medical astrology.
Thai medical
it's called
astrology.
The Khorasat.
Khorasat. Mm-hmm. We have another caller.
We're going to get transferred over in just a moment.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Because we only have 10 minutes, I want to cover, you know, anything we're leaving out.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the pelvic steaming, because that's a very unique new thing that, like, I had never heard of.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really important aspect of, like, how to sort of embrace this whole change and release some of the stagnation, because I know a lot of women suffer with fibroids.
Absolutely.
And a lot of pelvic issues at this time.
Yes.
That can be really terrifying.
Yes. So we have, you know, our eyes and our ears and our mouth and all of these orifices that we can either bring things in
mm-hmm.
or release things out. Mm-hmm. And that can be easily seen by sneezing, by taking a big inhale of steam and opening up the lungs. You see these things all the time in really simple ways. So stagnancy in the pelvic region is stuck energy, literally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you need to move that just like you would coughing up something. So there are practices that create a steam effect for the pelvis that nourishes and soothes the tissues and glands in the pelvis, and use different herbs based on what your condition is. Some people have really weak tissue and they need to strengthen it. Some people have, like you were saying, cysts, where they need to break up the tissue. And so you use different, I call them herbal allies, to steam with. And then that really creates a beautiful balance and also amazing self-care and self-love. You're dealing in a really personal way with your body.
Mm-hmm. And you really have to pause to do that. You have to stop and steam.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful way to sort of end your day and then crawl into bed.
Okay. So we're going to take the other call and then we'll wrap up. I do want to hear anything else you've left out. Pelvic steaming sounds interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Next. Go ahead, Ben. Janina, we have Janine on the line. Hello.
Hey, hi. It's me again. You guys always have great shows.
Thank you. Give us.
I am in menopause. I'm 56. But I do want to contribute that I started my peri about 12 years ago. My daughter swears it's when she started college. Mind you, she walked to college. But anyway.
Janine, take us off speaker. Take us off speakerphone. Talk into the phone. It's echoing in our studios. We need to hear
you.
Did you hear me? What
barely.
You hear?
Barely. So you have
we
three.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So you have 2 minutes.
I am in menopause. Okay, I am in menopause. I'm 56. I started about 12 years ago, my peri. But I did want to contribute. I do all those things that you said. I've been doing that my whole life practically. Mm. But it is important for women to know, and I say this to everyone, if you are in a relationship with a person who is on the same page as you, it makes transition so much easier. And I'm talking about eating, exercising, you know, massaging. It's so important. All those things. Because like I said, I've been exercising, or eating organic, vegan, the whole nine yards. Sugar, I stopped. Right. Stopped sugar, thanks to a nutritionist in March. Mm-hmm. I stopped dairy.
So you're only doing help coconut. Us out because now we're down to a minute, Janine. What are the benefits? Tell us. What do you mean
the
being in a relationship?
Great benefits.
No, being with a partner. A partner you're going
to. Well, if you're lucky enough to have a partner who is on the same page as you, meaning you're not in a bad relationship, the transition is so much better.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
Because I'm in that. I was in that. I'm still in it.
That's
so
great.
I was told that I was told by my partner, you're bipolar, you're crazy, you're this, you're that. I seek psychiatry.
How is that helpful? How is that helpful?
It wasn't helpful. It wasn't helpful. What I'm saying is you need to be in a better a relationship that is helping you make a transition easier. That was not helpful.
Oh,
that was
I
horrible.
See.
That
okay.
sent me in different locations seeking psychiatry and all kinds of stuff. So, there's nothing wrong with me.
Right.
So you think you think it would have been better if you had a good partner? It would have taken less time, or what? It would have.
Or people who believe in menopause. I have a brother who never heard his wife talk about her period or menopause. He says, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Wow.
Okay, I don't dye my hair. I will never dye my hair. I'm proud of my hair.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're a beauty.
And
you're
I'm
beautiful.
Not a beauty,
yes, you are. I've seen you in person.
You want to know something, Kevin?
Yeah.
When I go back to black, I happen to sing that song, Back to Black.
Mm-hmm.
When I look in the mirror, that means anxiety, depression, which is not going to come back anymore. But I would see myself ugly, wrinkled, and gray. I have
not at all. Nope.
Nephew, who's a dermatologist, who keeps looking at me. I'm like, don't even go there.
Good for you.
He injects the whole family.
Janine, look, we are so happy you called.
Yeah.
Very happy. Thank you.
And that's some really good advice.
We only have 2 minutes, so we're going to take you off now. Okay? Thanks for calling. This is
love
great.
Love you guys.
Love you
love
too.
Love you guys. Love you guys.
So,
bye.
You know, it gets back to this concept of having a nurturing community, nurturing partner in her case. But tell us a little bit again what you're doing, what you're offering, how people can get in touch with this. And I think I'm going to say it. You should have a guy in the room. Because that's just me. Because, you know, it shouldn't devolve into a sociocultural conversation, right? If you're going through menopause, you have serious change of life issues, and you're in a supportive environment and community, it can be, you know, a turning point to really a new and positive, happy second life,
right?
Adulthood or whatever.
We're all in this together.
Yeah. So that's the danger. But tell us, how can people get in touch with you and get into a red tent?
Right. So my website is dharmawake.com. You can find out all about my services there.
Dharma Wake.
Dharma Wake. DHARMA Wake.
.com. Okay.
I'm running, again, a 7-week series called Women's Health and Radical Self-Care here at the Positive Mind Center.
Oh.
But it's also available online and upstate, so I'm offering multiple platform locations. And it's a 7-week series to reclaim our self-care practices as women.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. And if you want to call us after the show, you can call us here at the Positive Mind Center, 212-757-4488.
Or send us an email. PositiveMind@WBAI.org. And you can find a replay of this show and all previous shows on the iTunes Store. Go to the iTunes Store and type in Positive Mind to get free downloads of every Positive Mind episode. We're here every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m., Elizabeth Gross, Nassima Diane Deamer, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was great.
We'll be back same time, same place next Tuesday. Take care.
In the summer, we'll sit in a field and watch the sun melt. In the winter, we'll sit by a fire and watch the moon freeze. Me, my old man, and 120 babies. Me, my old